Hello and welcome to the Scottish Football Show. Here's what's coming up. Livy live on as relegation day gets delayed. A tangerine dream for Dundee United. They're back in the big time as champions. And unlucky Bucky cause a pyramid panic. Welcome, listeners, to the real juicy business end of the season. There may only be one league title to wrap up, and that looks like it's going to go down to the wire, but playoff places are still being fought for. Some could even be fought for in court. Don't know why I did that. But we're all in solidarity when it comes to this summer. If only our top players in the Scotland squad could stop getting injured. That would be very nice. And self-bleeping myself there. Sure, some people enjoy that. But watching the season trundle to a close through her fingers, joining me as senior producer at TNT Sports and Tartan Army trailblazer, hello, Laura Brannan.
Hello, Andrew Slaven.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that you don't know my middle name, do you?
I don't know.
And that will remain the same, so you don't full name me at some point, scare the living daylights out of me. As you heard him chuckle there, fellow Tartan Army foot soldier, and from the dark side, if you're on Laura's side, is Sky Sports News Anthony Joseph back with us, mate.
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Laura. Yeah, great to be back. Always love it.
I made the same joke when Andrew Dixon was on the show, and he's Sky Sports as well. So I like to play. I like to play as off
TNTV,
each other.
TNTV with Sky Sports. I know what Scottish football fans prefer.
Yeah, BT Sports. Anyway, yeah. So you can see my hoodie right now. I just want to say, before we get into even more like funny stuff and what we've maybe picked up on at the weekend, is that have you seen this, that the Euros might make Scotland fans even more unhealthy than we might already be, because it turns out that we're not going to be allowed any fruit in the stadium. Can you believe this?
Oh, what a shame. Such a loss to the football experience.
I know. It's a shocker, isn't it?
What's the reason? What's the reasoning?
I think they just, to be honest, mate, I reckon they just want everyone to buy everything in the stadium, if I'm honest.
Because that fruit will sell well.
Well, I can't fit a mango in my sporting anyway.
Well, it's like the cinema. When you used to go to the cinema when you were wee, you'd always like go to the nearest like corner shop and like load up on the sweeties there, because everything
do you mean
was dead
when
expensive.
We were wee? I did that 2 days ago.
I have children, Laura. I haven't been to the cinema in like 7 years.
Oh, okay. That's what happens when you have kids, okay.
Anthony, you can back me up here,
yeah,
can't you?
I haven't been in years either. soon we'll be going to all the Disney ones, I bet.
Take them with That's you and right. Go to Tesco and get a £1 bag of popcorn, because it's great.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Right, okay, let's get a laugh now. Let's get a laugh.
But Andrew, Laura, what's going on with your hoodie?
Oh, no. That's coming. That's
oh,
coming.
Okay, right, coming. Okay.
Big men are up from the back. El Mahani, right foot. Whipshot. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
Right, okay, right. Let's start this podcast with a laugh, as usual. So, Anthony, what's tickled your pickle?
Well, Friday, tickled by pickle, on Friday, and it was to do with championship clubs. First of all, Airdrie, they put out a tweet which shocked, I think, everyone across the UK even, saying that they're going to do a guard of honour for Dundee United, who technically hadn't won the league by then.
At the time, yeah.
At the time. They basically won the league. They were so far in front, but they hadn't won the league, but they were getting a guard of honour by Airdrieonians. And so that sparked Raith Rovers, who are second in the championship and who had been in a title race with Dundee United up until this point, to put out the meme. What was it from the In-Betweeners?
The In-Betweeners.
Football friends, that one.
Friend. Oh, football friends. Yeah, it's classic. Dundee United, then I think they won the title, didn't they? And then they put out an In-Betweeners version themselves of some key players and management in the car And in between us, the yellow, shit yellow car, it's Louis Mole just hanging out the car window, like just staring menacingly with the championship trophy in the background, Tony Watts holding it. Pretty decent.
To which Raith Rovers came back with
famous
scene of "I don't like Arabs." Everyone would understand in a Scottish football context.
Do you know what? Now the story, well, the thing is, I suppose with Raith Rovers, like is it Nigeria where they say, like, don't do a Dundee United?
Yeah.
So, back
decades from when.
It's really.
Dundee United
really
went
old.
Pre season and they were awful and lost to loads of amateur teams. So it's to call someone an idiot in Nigeria is to call them a Dundee United.
Yeah. So let's not do a Raith Rovers here. Maybe that's going to be the saying.
I mean, it's great that they've managed to make such a long-running joke out of all of the in-betweeners memes. And it's all, like, all relevant, all funny, all great, but it feels like it just went a bit far.
Oh, really? Do you think not liking Arabs was too just a little bit too far?
Yeah, in a politically correct way, but we all get it because we're all Scottish football fans and we all understand that Dundee United fans are Arabs and blah, blah, blah. That's absolutely fine. But I feel like even Dundee United should have responded with the meme that they kind of mocked up as well. Like, one reply would have been, the friend, that is a great reply.
Because
the fact that they're a guard of honour before they were champions is just utterly ridiculous. They had no reason to do it. Like, literally no reason. There's debate that it's even necessary once you've won the league, never mind before you even clinched it. So I completely support Raith Rovers' tweet, and I feel like that should have been the end of it. Sometimes jokes go too far in Scottish football.
Yeah, and why are we being so nice all of a sudden? Guards of honour, come on, calm down. That's for next season.
It should all be banished. As soon as you're on the football pitch, your enemies, okay? As soon as you cross that white line, none of this nonsense.
Jesus. Anything else?
Actually, did you see the ball boy at the St Mirren Rangers game?
I'm just going to see it now.
So he got, in inverted commas, sent off. He didn't get sent off. He didn't get shown a red card from the ref, right? Like the headlines in the papers would have you believe. He did this thing, which is something I've always wanted to do when I've been pitch side. Never got the chance to do it, but I've always wanted to do it. It was when he was obviously time wasting in St Mirren's favour. So imagine at this point, the score was 1-1 at this stage. And Balogun came over to pick up the ball from him for a throw in, and he held the ball out towards him and then chucked it away.
Nice.
It's so cheeky. It's so satisfying. And Balogun did a wee sarcastic clap to him and then got another ball and play continued. But one of the security guys at St Mirren removed the ball boy from his post and then replaced him with a different kid, which I just thought was ridiculously over the top. He was trying to time waste for your team.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a bit of a drastic reaction to just a funny moment.
Sources are telling me that Celtic are trying to snap him up for the 11th of May. What?
That's brilliant.
No, it's great because actually, usually, I've heard managers talk about it before, actually, about in terms of ball boys being part of the, and ball girls being part of the tactics, as in.
Is it Jose Mourinho? Jose Mourinho is a big one of it, isn't he?
Throw it back to your own team quickly. Yeah. Delay it for the opposition. That's quite a normal thing. So it was surprising to see.
We've had teams hide balls before as well. It's not just ball boys. I remember once at halftime at a game at Motherwell, I saw the Hibs subs take the balls from next to the pitch and hide it in the dugout. And before the ref came out, and I just walked right in, grabbed the balls and took them out again. I think Motherwell were losing at that stage. I just walked straight in and got it. The game wasn't in play at this point. It was before the second half started. And I was like, absolutely not having that. Another thing I saw, actually, this is not Scottish football, but I just wanted to bring it up because if it was Scottish football, I think we would get absolutely tore a new one for this. Did you see that Derby got presented with a trophy at the weekend? Because they won promotion. They didn't win the league. They came second, but they lifted a trophy. That's really bad chat, isn't it?
And we get called tin pot.
Yeah, exactly. It's not for me, man. Like, the only difference for me and it's actually separate from this. This is the, you know, the playoffs. When you get to the playoff final, and you get a trophy, I'm kind of I enjoy those occasions. I think there's merit in getting a trophy if you
Yeah.
win a playoff competition sort of thing.
I
But
agree.
finishing second, getting a trophy, and a pre by all means, like you've been promoted, you've guaranteed promotion. So parade around the pitch and throw your "we're going up" flags. Shove your trophies, man. You don't. You've not won anything. You've achieved something.
I don't even mind if they have something to show, like maybe in their trophy cabinet or such, like whatever their equivalent
What, a
is.
letter?
But like if there's some sort of plaque or something that like goes, right, you did really well and this is what you achieved, but don't walk around the pitch with, don't lift it in front of the stadium to celebrate. Just,
It's a
no, no.
lie. It's just a big fat lie. Nothing but a bunch of phonies. Adult mascots. Did you see this? Adult mascots in football is a thing, folks. It was at Dumbarton, yeah. A 6'5" mascot holding another adult's hand walking out in the pitch. Absolute. What a dream come true.
I'm a big fan of adults holding hands with footballers and walking out the tunnel. A great stag do idea, or hen do as well. It would be
I mean, I hope this was a
popular.
stag. I don't actually know the reason for this, why this mascot got chosen, but shoot, it's got to be a stag do.
Just the awkwardness on both parts of the
Yeah.
captain of the team holding a hand to someone who's probably taller than them, bigger than them.
Yeah, he was
What?
about 6'5" unit, man. It's
Love that.
class. Yeah,
Absolutely
I
love
like
that.
it. Big
I'd be
fan.
mortified myself, but it's really funny to watch.
And Marshall has saved! Yes! One big yes!
Right, on to the serious stuff now. And summertime is not far away. Or Euros time, really. McTominay is injured now, everyone. Yay for injuries. Well, in fact, we don't really know the severity of the injury, but he walked off, and well, he looked a little bit injured to me. What's the latest? Do we know anything new, Anthony? Like what could be the case with McTominay and any other Scotland players?
Yeah, we didn't know anything new. Post-match, Erik ten Hag said that he wasn't like fully fit. He wasn't 100% on the day, which yeah, you wonder why he was playing. I know Laura's up in arms about this. A couple of weeks ago, I remember Laura talking about wrapping up all the Scotland players in cotton wool and playing up unfit players is the exact opposite of that.
Seriously, I went
No.
and interviewed Andy Robertson this week and I was tempted just to drag him off into some sort of padded cell and lock the door just to make sure nobody could
Inject
get
him with some knockout juice.
near. Yeah, the walls were all like cotton wool paddedness, okay? We'll give him some food and everything, but nobody else is allowed to get near him for the next 6 weeks.
Think you're going to get banned from Liverpool now.
So yeah, we know Tierney, Kieran Tierney, we know is out for a couple of weeks. Is there an update about Armstrong? Is he getting?
No update yet. I mean, they're hoping for him to be possibly back in time, but again, it's who knows really, and they don't have
Yeah.
much games left. Anyway, there's Armstrong. We've obviously got Hickey out.
Nathan
Well,
Patterson.
Nathan Patterson. Hickey's not out with the Euros, but he's out injured at the moment. Lewis Ferguson. So Scotland running out of options. At least in central midfield, they do have a bit more strength and depth. But Gilmore as well is injured, isn't he? So Callum
Is
McGregor.
he? That what? Oh, that's that one. What? No,
Yeah,
I can't deal with this anymore.
you
Isn't he?
killed.
I might be wrong then. Is he though? I thought
No,
he was injured.
He was injured a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
Do you not
maybe he's
remember,
not.
Laura? You told
No,
us about it.
he's not out with the Euros or anything. Well, we've got
No,
more.
he played today. It's all good.
It's fine.
Panic over. He had missed a month through injury. I forgot that part. No, don't worry. He came back and he played 90 minutes against Bournemouth. They lost, but he played, so we're good.
But was he brought back too
Okay.
early, like Callum McGregor and
Yeah,
Scott
exactly.
McTominay? That's the issue.
What annoyed me is the fact you're talking about the manager has actually come out and admitted he's not 100% fit. Why are they pushing back a player that they don't even rate that much to be playing when he's not 100% fit. McTominay's reaction when he was pitch side, he was really angry. Now that could be he could be just frustration at what's happened and knowing that something's not right and probably seeing the summer flash before his eyes. But part of me wonders if that frustration that he was taking out when he was slamming his hand off the pitch is actually, why has he been pushed to play this game? Why is the medical team allowed him to play?
They do have the FA Cup final coming up as well. So there is that. So he'll definitely want to play in that. So never mind the Euros. So I'm sure it's any player getting injured will be frustrated anyway, especially in the moment because you don't know the severity of it. It might feel like, you know, a little tweak here and there, and then a day goes by and your doctor turns out that you've done your ACL actually, or you could be out for 7 weeks or whatever. So
slightly more confident in the fact that he walked off and wasn't stretchered off, and I'm hoping that because of that, that the medical team saw it's okay to walk off and moving it is not going to aggravate it. He's going for a scan on Monday, so by the time this episode is out, we'll know one way or the other. Hopefully, good news. And look, if it's just a couple of weeks, then fine, because it keeps him wrapped up for that couple of weeks and protects him. Because I mean, it got to see, I was watching the Aston Villa game on Saturday night, like just dreading that something's going to happen to John McGinn. It just feels like we're getting into that nervous stage now. You're looking at Tierney. Tierney's... oh my God. So for anyone not watching on YouTube,
I think I've just jinxed it.
Yeah, please don't jinx
Super
it.
So John you've McGinn. Just...
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm wearing a Super John McGinn hoodie. And Laura's just and then I just had to show it on screen. So yeah, sorry guys, John McGinn's getting injured next week. I'm really
Please
sorry,
don't
John.
Jinx it. Class hoodie though.
it's a very nice hoodie. Very big fan of it. Look, superhero. Really cool.
So would you wrap up John McGinn in cotton wool and rub cocoa butter on legs like he said?
You can't. Yeah, what was it? You can't put cocoa butter on a boy for coat bridge. That's what he said.
So good.
Such a good line.
This Paddy sale's getting bigger and bigger.
The big issue for me, above all of this, is just the lack of match fitness our key players could have going into this Euros.
I'm not overly stressed about that because at this time of the season, players are absolutely whap it anyway. And his little break might actually do them good. It's not long enough to give them, like, you know, make them feel like they have to have a pre-season before they go. But it's a nice little break, and then they'll go a week in advance. They'll get their training camp in and stuff. I'm all for them putting their feet up at this point. Please, 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 I'll do it. I'll do it. Just cancel football.
Well, from padded stairs to panic in the pyramids.
You think I'm going to answer a stupid question like that?
Well, in the last few seasons, since we've had the introduction of the pyramid system, Scottish football fans have been treated to some fresh teams, new teams in the top four divisions, which has been nice. We've had Cove Rangers, Kelty Hearts, Edinburgh City, Bonnyrigg Rose, and Spartans as well this season, which have been, you know, all made their mark. But for recent Highland League champions, Bucky Thistle, as you've either maybe heard or read, their chance for promotion is over. Because as it is now, the SPFL denied them the opportunity to play Lowland League champions East Kilbride at the weekend just gone because Bucky Thistle do not have a required bronze level club licence. So I know what you're all thinking right now. You're going, what the hell is a bronze level club licence? So I'm delighted to say, to help us through this SPFL bonfire of a mess up is a man who knows the Highland League very well. Highland League reporter for the Press and Journal for the last 25 years, Dave Edwards. Dave, thanks so much for joining.
Good evening, Andrew. It's my pleasure. Great pleasure, in fact.
Yeah, it's really good because I'm hoping you can kind of make sense of all of this for us. I realise that this all kind of came in under the radar last summer.
It did, really. And of course, there's no Highland League team at the moment got the bronze licence, including Brechin City. None of them have got it. A lot of them are working towards it, or some of them are working towards it, shall we say. I'm sure there's one or two in our league that would be quite happy to stay at the introductory level and never challenge for promotion.
Dave, just for those who don't quite fully grasp it all, what actually is the bronze level licence? What does it stipulate you have to, what criteria do you have to meet?
Well, there's loads of priorities. The ground has got to be upgraded, the size of the pitch has got to be correct and things like that. But to give you an example of what Bucky agreed to do, but then it looks at the moment they're not going to have to do, there was three areas that Bucky, or four areas actually, that Bucky asked for leave of grace to get in the next 2 months or 3 months. One of those was they needed to upgrade the floodlights. The floodlights at Victoria Park aren't the best, certainly not the best in the Highland League, far from it. So they got away leave to do the lights. And funnily enough, the lights are coming tomorrow to Bucky, the new lights. So there you go. But they will have new lights by the start of the new season, wherever they're playing their football. Of course, Bucky have put in a claim for arbitration under Article 99, and that's a new one to me, of the SFA handbook. So they're waiting for a ruling on that. So you never know. Bucky might be playing the playoffs before we know it. But the one reason is the floodlights. That's one. Another one is that they need a safety officer at the ground. Now, there's no Highland League clubs got safety officers. Carlow Thistle have got them. Inverness, Ross County's got one. I know Graham Fraser, he's a safety officer there. And the requirement of a safety officer means that someone that takes charge of the stadium on a day-to-day basis, but more importantly, on a match day. Now, I was speaking to the man who's got the job of being promoted for this role, shall we say, and he was telling me it's going to take him 90 hours of online learning to learn the job, and then he's going to have to go through some sort of test to prove that he can do it. So this is a guy who's working, you know, day to day, 9 to 5. He's going to have to set aside 90 hours of his own time to get all the, you know, everything that goes with the job of the stadium manager. So that's another one that Bucky managed to get a bit of a leeway with. And the final one is diversity and inclusion, which for a small Highland League club is going to be a huge one, a really huge one, because it means they're going to have, well, they do have a girls team at the moment. They've got several boys teams, but also with diversity and inclusion, there's other areas that will have to be taken account of. Things like disabled football, disabled soccer, and other areas as well. That's going to be a bit of a minefield for a small town like Bucky. So that's another one that they managed to get a period of grace over. And the third one is going to give them even more problems. They need to have a doctor at each of their home games. Now, that is going to be a big one for them. I'm just wondering if they could maybe circumvent this one. They've got a way leave until May the 15th on this one, but Bucky are hoping to have it in place by May the 10th. David Young, the club physio at Bucky, is by his job a paramedic. Now, I don't know about this, but I imagine Bucky may be trying to get the rules not changed, but can a paramedic do the same as a doctor? I know David on several occasions over the last few seasons has come onto the pitch and administered treatment for serious injuries to players in other teams. He's done that for 5 or 6 years. And he's, you know, being a paramedic, he knows how to do most of the things a doctor would be able to do. So I'm just wondering if Bucky are going to be able to hopefully go along that line as opposed to paying a doctor to be in attendance at the ground every week.
The other big question then really is, who voted these changes in, Dave? Because it feels like it's heavily weighted in the favour of SPFL clubs.
Yes, I think so. I think there's a lot of maybe self-preservation is a feeling up here that maybe the Central Belt clubs have got a wee bit of self-preservation, because once they go through the trap door into the Lowland League, or in Brechin's case, into the Highland League, there's no guarantee whatsoever of getting back. And looking at teams like Cowdenbeath, Berwick Rangers, East Stirlingshire, to name but three, They're going to find it really, really difficult to get their way back into the SPFL. And another thing that I was thinking about as well, the Highland League, way back in 2016, were given an ultimatum. You've got no option. You're going to have to come in to the pyramid system. Now, that was just foisted upon them. Most of them didn't particularly want it. There are several clubs out there who are very, very ambitious, very ambitious. I can maybe think of three or four who would be very, very keen to be winning the title and going for promotion, hopefully with the bronze award in place. But there's no guarantee they're going to get the bronze award. East Kilbride have already got it because basically they've got a purpose-built stadium. You know, it was built 110 years after Bucky Thistle's Victoria Park. So they've got a purpose-built stadium, everything in place. There's a special medical room in place for the doctor and things like that. But Bucky, 1889, Bucky's pitch was started, Victoria Park. I was at the centenary game against Celtic in 1989. Celtic came up and played them for the centenary of the ground. And we're now another, 30-odd years further on. The ground's 135 years old at Bucky. It needs quite a bit done to it to help attain the status. But make no mistake, Bucky were working towards it. There might have been quite a few of their fans don't want to go up. There are quite a few of their fans, I know quite a few of them, that say, look, why should we go to Stranraer on a Tuesday night? Don't want to go to Stranraer on a Tuesday night. Guys are getting off the work for a whole day. They're coming back maybe 4 or 5 in the morning. They're having to go to the work at 9 o'clock. That's not safe. And I can understand that argument.
Dave, there's obviously, you're saying that changes are getting put in place, like the floodlights, the fight against the whole medical setup here. Is there a chance this playoff semi-final could still happen? Because we know it was meant to happen at the weekend here. But is there a chance that this fight can still progress and we'll still get a playoff final between the Highland and Lowland teams?
I think that could happen. As I say, Bucky asked for the period of waiver and they have admitted, and all credit to them, they forgot, or I don't know how it happened, but they did not get that deadline of March the 31st with the SPFL. Mm. They didn't make it. But since then, for the next 3 weeks, they've been talking to the SPFL, they've been talking to the SFA, and they've been saying to them, OK, get this in as soon as you can, maybe do it by mid-May for the thing about the medical. But the other ones are almost in place, the floodlights, and the SFA and the SPFL were playing the game, playing along.
All of a sudden,
the hammer blow came, by the way, you don't qualify.
So if this did go to arbitration, then the SPFL are culpable here for not organising their potential members properly.
Could be. It could well be that if it goes to arbitration. I'd like to see who's in the panel. I think it could be very, very, very interesting. And I was talking to the Bucky general manager, Stephen Shan, the other day. And you can understand he's terribly upset for the club, for the players, the management, and the committee, the board, you name it. And many, many of the fans. I was talking to a fan who actually went down to East Kilbride on Saturday because he'd booked a night's dinner, bed and breakfast for himself and his wife. And he says, to hell with it. There's a lovely shopping centre in East Kilbride. I'll take my wife shopping. So he went down and stayed overnight, would you believe, in East Kilbride with no game. He was going to go along to the pitch in case it was a friendly, mind you. He was going to send his wife shopping. He was going to go to the pitch, see if it was a friendly organised. But that's how keen some of the Bucky fans were to go at that game.
Me and Laura know that shopping centre very well. I've got family in East Kilbride. Laura grew up in East Kilbride.
As somebody lived most of my life in East Kilbride, I'm amazed that somebody has went a weekend away. Such a brilliant story.
Come to Bucky.
I would love to, yeah. Not as many roundabouts in Bucky, I'm sure.
That's true.
But look, I'll get on to the league in general after this, but are Bucky just unlucky here, or are they? Do they have to share a bit of blame as well? Because as much as you know, we can tarnish the SPFL a little bit here. The SPFL have also said that emails had gone out earlier later on last year. I think there was letters in October and November and maybe as far back as September, which I read.
Yeah, I think Bucky freely admitted to me that they had missed the deadline. However it happened, I don't know. Somebody didn't see it in the diary or whatever, but the 31st of March was the crux date. They had to have at least gone to the SPFL and say, look, come have a waiver of a month or 2 months or whatever. And I'm pretty sure they would have been granted it. So it's really a technical and administrative error, and it's cost Bucky hugely. It really has.
Dave, you talked about a lot of the Bucky fans not wanting to go up. Are you convinced the club actually do want to go up? I know they're putting all these things in place, but the SPFL obviously said they've missed these deadlines. I know at the moment it is a bit of a, they said, they and the other side said kind of thing. Arbitration will obviously help to gather what is truth in all of this. But are you convinced that Bucky actually want to come up? And if they do, what kind of other changes? They're going to have to make some pretty dramatic changes in their whole organisation, aren't they?
They are. Anthony, to be honest, I had my doubts a couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. I really had my doubts that Bucky really wanted to go. As I said, I've talked to a lot of their fans who don't want to go up. They're bred in the Highland League. They love the Highland League. You will know as well as I do because you've sampled it. It's the friendliest league in the world. I think the best league in the world. It's an amazing league to be part of. But especially the younger people, they want to be involved. They want to see Bucky on a national stage. I think going to Celtic in the Scottish Cup gave them a huge view of what things could be like. Okay, maybe Stair Park and Stranraer is not as idyllic as Parkhead, but it's a step in the right direction. I think the younger ones especially, I think it's the older guys that are maybe steeped in Highland League that said, well, we've been there forever, we'd like to stay there forever. But I think the younger ones especially, and especially after seeing Bucky in the last 2 weeks of the season, they played 6 games in 13 days and they won them all. And they won them all by playing some great attacking football. They have a very young squad, really young squad, but they played tremendously well. I went and watched as a spectator because my season was finished. I went and watched 3 or 4 of the games and they mightily impressed me, especially the game against Brechin. Huge crowd that night. There must have been 1,300-1,400 at Victoria Park. In fact, for the last 3 home games, they had well over 1,000 in each game. So the game against Brechin, Brechin scored first. Bucky went in at halftime and I thought, this is going to be tricky. But the manager, Spider, Graham Stewart, worth his magic. He's an excellent manager. They came out, they scored 2 goals, and they were worthy winners at the end of the day. They could have scored a couple more. So I'm now convinced that the manager, the players, the club themselves, and quite maybe even a majority of the fans would like to at least have a go. What could happen? What's the worst that could happen, Anthony? The finish bottom and the land back up in the Highland League, but at least they had a go.
Dave, we've heard the Brechin City chairman, Kevin Mackay, come out and slam what's been going on here. He said that it's embarrassing, it makes a mockery of the pyramid system, it's shambolic, the Highland League needs to take a look at themselves. Do you think that he feels like the fair... Okay, what's happened has happened and it's wrong what's happened, but do you think that what could have been a solution here is the chance to play in the playoff gets passed down to second place? Or do you think that's just him being a bit more personal because Brechin came so close and missed out?
Bit of both, possibly. I would advocate that if a club, this is the Highland League now as a whole, the Highland League themselves met the requirement. They produced a champion. End of story. That was the Highland League body. Gave the SPFL a champion. Whatever happened later on, the Highland League did their job. But I would like to think that out with, say, the 3 or 4 clubs that are so ambitious and really want to go for promotion if they get the chance, I would like to think that the other 13, 14 clubs could get together as a group and say, right, we're going to unite here. We've got no chance of ever financially making the grade of going up in the SPFL. We will say right here now, we don't want to do it. So we will stay at the introductory level. If we win the league, one of our teams win the league, we will let the next highest finisher in the league table who has bronze status, we will give our shot at it to them. Now, that would take a huge seed change in the Highland League to do that, but I think that would be a good way to go. Going back to Kevin Mackey, I know Kevin, excellent chairman. Maybe a little bit of sour grapes, because he made the point that, you know, Bucky scored 6 in one game against Strathspey and 7 in another. Well, when Brechin played Strathspey, they won 6-1 at Strathspey and 5-0 at Glebe Park. Now, Brechin needed only one more point or 3 more goals to go up. So it's a marathon, not a sprint. So Kevin's looking at it. He's obviously got rose-tinted spectacles or red-tinted spectacles. I think maybe he's obviously pig-sick about the whole thing. But to lay the blame right at the door of the Highland League, nah, I don't go with that. I don't buy that. You know, it's a huge thing for a Highland League club to go up. And he made the point as well that his club have spent a lot of money, a fortune, getting the club ready for bronze status. He's not the only one, but I would guess, and I think I'm fairly well up in this, that the biggest players' budget for the whole Highland League will be Brechin City at the start of last season. Craig Levine didn't go to Glebe Park for his health, I don't think. You know, Craig Levine, I imagine, was being paid fairly healthily. And I know the 4 Brechin players who are on more money per week than any other Highland League player.
Wow. And of course,
contradicted by the chairman of Brechin and that, but I got it from a fairly good source.
And they only lost the league by goal difference as well.
Two goals.
So, I mean, in a way, this whole scenario is totally sullied an amazing end to a campaign. That's like an amazing story in the Highland League. Bucky winning their first title in, what, was it 12 years? Or 2017, was it? The last title they won?
Yeah, Graham Stewart won it. He's won it twice the player, twice the manager.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the day they won the league, the trophy didn't come there till 6 o'clock. Now, I had an appointment with a fish supper at Portnockie at 5:30, so I thought, I'm out. I wasn't there to see the trophy arriving, but I presented the Highland League trophy in days gone by to the winners. I've seen it all before, but I did lug in to see the celebrations, and by Jove, they had a cracking night in Victoria Park that night, and well deserved. But it has tarnished it. It really has tarnished it with the SPFL coming in with this dictate. And technically they're correct. But I would like to think that, you know, if it goes to mediation, somebody with a little bit of common sense might just say, hey, maybe we should play this game.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Well, here's hoping there's no more fishy business in the next couple of days or weeks. Hey, Dave.
Let's hope not.
Football, by the hell.
Dave Edwards there from Highland League reporter for the Press and Journal for the last 25 years. Absolute legend. Great to have him on. But let's have our little review of the Premiership and below, starting with the relegation group. Getting a little bit tongue-tied. Livingston, they live to fight another week, potentially, in the relegation battle, because they beat Ross County 2-0. A must-win, but it was also a must-win a couple of weeks ago. They're now 9 points behind County, 12 points to play. Anthony, is the comeback on?
No.
Right, moving on.
No, it's not. It's far too big an ask for them to claw back all those points.
Win every single game.
Yeah, and considering the way they've been going. So I fully expect Livingston to go down. And I think what's probably more an interesting angle is, can you see Livingston coming back up? When do you see Livingston come back up? Because quite a lot of the Championship clubs have got a bigger budget than Livingston have got in the Premiership. So it might be a long time before we see Livingston back in the Premiership.
Oh dear. And they play Motherwell next week. And I saw that they haven't even beaten Motherwell at Fir Park since 2002. Laura, I was in second year of high school.
So was I.
Were you? Oh, right. That's funny.
Yeah.
James McFadden was playing for Motherwell.
I was primary six.
Oh, jeez, oh man.
God, I feel
I
old.
see here, Marvin Andrews scored the second goal. Madness. Good times for Livingston, though. So yeah, the relegation playoff is quite tight. Because probably the most exciting part of the table as well, to be fair. County and St Johnstone both losing, and there's a point just between them as well. There's not much to play for between Aberdeen and Motherwell. So this is still the bottom six, isn't it? But neither are mathematically safe. Why wasn't Kettlewell happy with Craig Napier, Laura?
Oh, so Jack Vale gets sent off. And to be fair, I don't think the red card is that much of a debate. I think the issue is more with the manner in which Craig Napier deals with these situations. Kettlewell wasn't happy with the language used, the way he speaks to players. And to be fair, I mean, I've never seen Paul McGinn so angry either. So I really want to know what was said. I mean, he's one of the nicest people in football, and to see him lose his mind over something that can't be that great. Craig Napier's never been very tactile with players. I think he was one that I remember during COVID times when you could hear a lot more of what was happening on the pitch. It was quite revealing, should I say, when certain refs were speaking to players, and he was one that stood out for an instant, actually at Pittodrie as well. He wants to show that he's got the power, but doesn't quite execute it in the correct ways.
Right, I'm with you.
And that's me hearing things on the pitch from when I was there. I can only imagine it's maybe something similar has happened in this game as well.
Naturally, reminds me we might have wanted to include it in the funnies, but for the whole first half of the Aberdeen Motherwell game, Aberdeen's scoreboard said Aberdeen nil, Dundee nil with the time.
Yeah.
I saw a great comment on Twitter from a Dundee fan saying, "We know it wasn't real because you can't beat us."
Yeah, I remember that actually. In the top six, still 3 points separating the top two. Celtic still leading at the top, Rangers in second. Celtic beat Dundee 2-1. Rangers beat St Mirren 2-1 as well. And it's worth noting that Dundee and St Mirren are also still fighting out for Europe. So there's plenty still to play for in that top six. Laura, do you want to wrap up the second tier for me, please?
In the championship, so it's all about the kind
Hey.
of so we're talking about the playoff relegation playoff spot right now. Obviously, our both are down and out, they're straight out relegated. Queen's Park made quite a statement the weekend. They're trying to secure their safety from that playoff place. They beat our both 5-0. Didn't quite secure their complete safety mathematically, but it now comes down to just them and Inverness Kelly for the last game this weekend. They're a point ahead. So yeah, they're in the right position. It's all in their hands. They're at home to Airdrie though, which I think is a wee bit harder than Kelly Thistle being at home to Morton. But no, it's all good. It's all good there. At the top end of the table, it's pretty much wrapped up. So it's a far cry from this time last year when we were going into the final day of the season with literally everything still to play for in the championship. Kind of miss that. But yeah, Raith Rovers, they drop points again. They drew nothing each with Morton, but they are safe in second. And it really just comes down to Thistle and Airdrie at this point. They're fighting out for third and fourth. And it's really just a case of who's going to have the home leg first in the playoff. But we know they're going to both be there. So it's all
Yeah.
happening at the bottom end.
Interesting. It's all happening in the bottom end in League One as well. Massive final day of the season. Stirling Albion and Annan will have to meet to battle it out in a bid to avoid the relegation playoff spot. They're equal on points, and Annan have got a better goal difference. So really, Stirling have to win to save their bacon. But I'm rooting for Annan. It's my local team, other than Queen of the South, and I don't. There's not that much rivalry down there. It's absolutely fine. Laura, League Two.
Oh, this is where it gets good. We're getting a bit of drama here on the last day. Bottom of League Two, we need to all look at this. So Clyde, Clyde are pulling off the great escape here. They've been like, what, bottom most of the season. We thought they were down out by probably Christmas time. And they are up to ninth now. They've clawed themselves off the bottom. They're pulling themselves away. And they're leaving Stranraer fighting for their lives right at the bottom. So, yeah, this is looking good. Bonnyrigg look safe on goal difference. So they're not mathematically out of it, but I don't think they're going to get dragged down. Stranraer play the champions, Steny, on the last day. So that's going to be a very hard one for them. Clyde are away to Elgin City. And then at the other end, we've got Peterhead and Barton and Spartans all playing for the playoff. A bit like the championship where we know they're all going to meet the playoff. It's just what position they kind of end up in and who's going to get which position in the fixtures.
Yeah. Interesting if Stranraer do end up going down, and then we've just heard that Bucky Thistle don't really want to go there. So if Bucky Thistle did get a chance to get promoted, if it does come around, fans might be quite happy if Stranraer go down. Well, there you go. Silver lining. And yeah, it's quite cool to hear Clyde getting the Ian McCall to arms. I wish I'd used that as a podcast title earlier on in the season. But that's it. We're done. Thank you, Laura. Cheers, Anthony. It's great having you with us as well. And Dave Edwards from the Press and Journal talking about Highland League. What a character. Love it. Now, if you're still listening, why? Why? Stop now and go and do something productive with your lives. But thanks for listening. It does mean a lot. And if you haven't already, go and see our Maurice Malpass unabridged chat. I should say that is very, very good, especially if you're a Dundee United fan and wanting to continue the fun times as you are champions. Now go away, children, and have fun. Goodbye.